This is Insight, celebrating its 15th year on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruiak. On the subject of concussions, we're going to take you back to a story you might remember about the nationally known comedian Jack Gallagher. Just before Jack's 61st birthday, he decided to go for a bike ride. He approached an intersection and noticed a car coming from another direction. He described what happened next when he joined us on Insight just a few weeks later.
I had a run-in with the car, and the car won.
You were wearing a helmet.
Always wear a helmet.
Always wear a helmet. All geared up.
I was completely geared up with everything that everybody hates, the Lycra clothes and the bike shirt and the gloves and the helmet. And it just was, a wrong place, a wrong time. Physics took over, and she needs a new windshield now.
Okay. Yeah. So what part of your body landed on the windshield?
My helmeted head hit her windshield.
And so the result was?
A pretty severe concussion.
It took 4 days of bed rest in a dark room before Jack could begin his recovery. 3 weeks later, he was allowed to start driving a car. He did his best to live up to the motto, "The show must go on," but it was anything but easy. Jack created a one-man show called Concussed, 4 Days in the Dark. He performed it back in 2017 at the B Street Theater. And he talked with CAP Radio's Ben Adler about the experience.
It's been an interesting journey. I started writing this. Actually, it's my 7th show, and I started writing it, and I wasn't going to write about the accident. But as I got into writing the show, I realized how much stuff had changed since the accident. And it became about those 4 days that I had to spend. That's what the prescription was go home and brain rest, spend 4 days doing nothing.
Is that possible?
It is possible, but you can't stop thinking, which is the only thing that you can't stop.
Yeah.
And when you're in a situation where you don't want to think, what do? You distract yourself. You read a book. You work in the yard. You wash your car, whatever. And when you're lying in bed or sitting in a dark room, all you do is think. I was 61 at the time. And you just start reflecting on everything that's happened to you, both the good, bad, and the indifferent. And
did you know at that time that you were going to turn that into material?
No. I had no desire to do that. I wanted to get out of that room and just get on with my life. The other thing that happened was the neurologist told me that it would be a year and a half before I would know what was, the phrase he used was gone for good. In terms of my cognitive ability or physical ability. So, no, it took a long time. And I thought, okay, well, 4 days, I'll rest. I'll get out of here. I'll be fine. And it wasn't. It was months and months and months of headaches and being dizzy and forgetting how to speak correctly. And, you know, it wasn't as bad as it could be, but it was bad enough.
What was it like? I mean, you were doing shows fairly soon.
Yeah,
after.
That was not a good idea. That was a mistake that I made. I did a music show like 2 weeks afterwards, which was just, I don't remember that. And then I did a show at the B Street for 6 weeks that was really difficult, just in terms of it just wore me out. I would just have to do the show and then basically go home and just not do anything for the next day till I had to go back to the theater. I didn't know. I thought I was doing okay.
I can only imagine, though, how this must have been quite scary for you. So much of your livelihood is based on your ability to both memorize and improvise,
yeah.
Neither of which could have come easily to you.
No, it was really difficult. And one of the things that I talk about in this show is the fact that I needed notes on stage. And before that, as a stand-up, you know, I could do an hour and a half of stand-up comedy with no notes, with just me. And that was frustrating and annoying to me in that I needed to have notes on stage to know where I was going. I'd get lost, or I'd just have these moments of just where everything would just kind of poof, and I'd think, where am I going? What am I doing? So yeah, it was nerve-wracking, but some good stuff came out of it, you know? Some really good stuff came out of it. You have a tendency, I think everybody does, to just sort of, you know, be on fast forward in your life, and you just, you know, you and I were talking off air, but you have two little kids, and your life becomes consumed by kids and family and work, and you could just go from day to day to day. And when you actually stop after, like I said, after 61 years, you have 4 days to just think about where you've been, what you've done, what you wanted to do, what you didn't do, where you want to go from here. I mean, not to be too dramatic, but it was transformative. It changed the way I look at things.
Well, let's actually hear a clip from your show about that, about faith. We edited it a little bit for time, but let's listen to Jack Gallagher from his one-man show, Concussion.
I tell stories, and I'm really good at it, until I can't do it anymore. And I remember saying to Jean Ellen, a couple of days into this, what happens if I never get better? And she said, you have to have faith. When I think of faith, I think of loyalty, and I think of the Boston Red Sox. I do. Because when I was a kid, they were terrible. They were awful. They never won anything. And I remember saying to my dad, who was a fan, why can't they win something? Why can't they beat the Yankees like one time? And my father would say, you have to have faith. So I had faith. And I went to church all the time as a kid. I was in youth groups. I played Little League for the church. I was an altar boy. And they talked about faith all the time. So I prayed for the Red Sox. They never won anything. And I told a priest about it, and he said, oh, you're praying for the wrong thing. I said, no, I'm not. I prayed for the Celtics. They won 8 championships in a row. I'm starting to think the Red Sox aren't Catholic.
Well, they must have gotten a reprieve.
They did. Yeah, they turned things around, didn't they?
As did you.
Yeah, not to put too fine a point on it, but like I said, it changed the way I think about things. It changed slow down a little bit. You know, and I'm getting to the age where I'm starting to make that transition from, you know, full-time working guy to slowing down a little bit. So I wouldn't say that it came at the right time. I wouldn't say that it was something that I'd ever want to do again, but it certainly, I'm not unhappy with the changes that I made because of it.
I wonder if you could share maybe some more of the humor from your show, maybe even, I don't know if it's dark humor or not. I know you had a line or two about the phrase traumatic brain injury. And
What happened was the doctor at the ER said, you got to go home and have brain rest and just, you have a traumatic brain injury, a TBI. And my response was, okay, I'll go home and I'll just rest. And then you start thinking about stuff. And what I thought was the word traumatic never makes, if you pair it with another word, it never makes that word sound better. And I say in the show, traumatic Christmas. It's not great. Traumatic birthday. So, again, it's just, the lying in a dark room with nothing to do for 4 days but think, you come up with a plan, basically. And I've done a lot of stuff that I wouldn't have done before the accident when I was just moving forward so quickly and not thinking about exactly enjoying things.
What was your plan?
My plan was to spend less time worrying about where I was going to go and more time enjoying where I've been. My wife and I are both from a Boston area. We spend every summer back on Cape Cod, and we wound up buying a house back there. I've made 3 cross-country drives since the accident, 1 each with my 2 sons individually and then just 1 by myself with my dog. So I've just taken more time to just sort of slow down. And, in my business, you just keep going to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And I realized that I wasn't taking any time to realize where I'd been and what I'd done and what I'd accomplished or what I'd done with my career. And I think it just, if it had to happen, this accident, it happened at the right time. It happened as I was, I had just a couple of weeks, actually it wasn't on my birthday, a couple of weeks earlier I had turned 61 and started to feel like, everybody says 50 is like, oh my God, 50, 50. I cruised through 50 like it was nobody's business. But 60 really, when I hit 60, it was like, oh my God, I'm 60. What happened?
Yeah.
So this happened 3 weeks after my 61st birthday and it was time to sort of think about stuff. And like I said, I don't want to do it again. I'm not happy it happened. And I ride all the time. I mean, I'm a big cyclist, so I ride try to ride 100 miles a week. So I'm on the road constantly. And this just happened to happen, one day, like I say in the show, I thought this car had stopped. I thought she was waiting for me to clear the intersection. I actually raised my hand to thank her for waiting. And as soon as I got into the intersection, she made the turn. And I wound up on her hood. So
you said your hand wave turned into a no, no, no.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I try to be very, I know how people hate cyclists. So I try to be very polite and I try to do the right thing. And I thought, oh, cool. She's waiting for me to clear. So I waved my hand to say thank you. And that very quickly became no, 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 no. And then, smash. It was kind of, she was felt terrible and obviously, but I thought it was really funny. The first thing she said to me was, I didn't see you. It's like, well, good. That's better than the alternative where you're actually aiming for me. But, it turned out to be okay.
So lastly, Jack, and you've hinted at this a little bit in our interview, you're what now, 63 years old?
Yeah.
You've survived a car windshield, the recovery from a concussion, you fought to put this show on. You've had a full career that's spanned from network television to comedy clubs. What's next for you?
I have no idea. I'm going to just see what happens. I mean, that's the thing that I've sort of stopped worrying about what's going to happen next, and just we'll see what happens. Because, you know, here's the final point. You can die, and you can die before you think you're going to die. Or you can get into a place where I was really, really lucky. I mean, I was so lucky that I hit the car the way I did, that I rolled off the car the way I did. I mean, it didn't turn out nearly as horrific as it could have. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I mean, I've spent my whole life just chasing stuff, so now I'm just going to kind of wait and see what happens.
That was comedian, actor Jack Gallagher talking with Cap Radio's Ben Adler in March of 2017. That's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruriak. Insight is produced by Cody Drabble and Kate Gonzalez. Our digital team is Chris Hagen, Casey Gardner, and Emily Zentner. We had help from Helen Barrington and Antonio Munez. Our technical director is Mark Jones. Insight's executive producer is Joe Barr. Thanks for joining us.